for feeding that in. On Saturday morning, I had a dream. I was on the edge of waking up, but I dreamt that I was a whale. It was pretty good. It was like this one flick of the fin, and I was just away, you know, to the water. And I think in real life, I was actually moving. So in my bed, I would have been like, whatever, jostling about. And yeah, there was this burst of acceleration, and I came out, you know, really high, you know, out of the water, you know, that slight turn that they do. So it's like, that's it. And I took a huge breath, but it wasn't with here, it was with here. And I went, and it was just like this really huge breath. That's what it felt like. And yeah, it was like a hot air, like a big hot air balloon filling up. And then the ka-doom, you know, splash as it hit the water. And then I was just diving down into the depths, and I went from blue, and it was getting darker and darker. And then I woke up because I realized I was actually holding my breath. That's how I woke up from the dream. I don't actually have the lungs of a whale. But I think in that dream is just a kernel of what I hope and what I believe God has for us today, that we'll find an ease of acceleration in the things that God's prepared for us, that we'll be able to take a really big, deep breath in the Spirit. It's already happening today in the worship, thank you. And that we'll mark it in our identities, but in others' identities, with the exercise that we do today. There's the celebratory splash, you know, which is just a pushing back, a disruption, you know, a space made for Him in our lives. And yeah, making space for God, and just to dive down deeper into the depths of His love, allow Him to permeate our expressions, His activities, which He's given specifically to each of us. So yeah, whales hunting pods. So did a whale pod here today, have a look around. I did put that I was going to make a whale sound there, but I thought maybe not. Whale song. Yeah. I don't remember this stuff. Did you guys deliberately do that as a circle? Are you serious? Did you, when you put that thing, did you see this before you put that as a circle at the start?
The partake, the communion.
Yeah. So, expression equipped. Yeah, I'm just going to explore expression. I'm just going to play. You can play with me. Just let the Spirit guide you. How it relates to our identity individually and as a family. And I just want to, yeah, sort of touch on this peculiar subculture that we have at Sanctuary, which is something Michael just sort of dropped in, and that's just been affecting me and haunting me since 2 weeks ago. That's going to be the first bit. In the second part of the morning, we'll probably follow an actual kind of prac thing, an actual time of equipment, where we'll draw and sharpen each other in Him. What's expression? I looked it up. It's the action of making known one's thoughts or feelings. And equipping is supplying with the necessary items for a particular purpose and furnishing. We've heard that word, furnishing.
Yeah.
And we've got this already, this beautiful description written by Ads and Kath on the Sanctuary website about our expressions here. And just listen to this, I don't know if you've read this. There is no stock standard way in which ministry should happen. At Sanctuary, each believer is enabled by Jesus to be a minister of the gospel of the kingdom. We seek His plans for transformation, not using persuasive methods, but relying on demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Our expressions are the way we love humanity, strengthen the body of Christ, and give Jesus all the praise and worship that is due to His name alone. These expressions are places where people can grow, where spiritual fruit can be produced, and places that help people come alive to the to their best life. That's so cool, eh? It's a little bit of our identity and yours. So as a family, we're trying to move away from, and if you've been around churches for a little while, the expressions of the activity of the kingdom being attributed, or the sole responsibility of, just one person or a couple of people, the pastor, who load bears the weight of everyone else's Christian walk, you know, they carry it all. We shift in from being in that sort of audience mentality, you know, just disjointed and unutilized community, you know, we're called to be a mature body and a family, and we've been exploring, you know, the fivefold ministries, or that picture that Paul gives in Ephesians, to foster all the expressions of what he's doing, and all the life that God desires to bring to us, because, you know, he's an expressive God, we've already heard, he's active in us, and the whole Bible is coded with his expression of love for humanity and for all creation. And he's making that known to each one. Specific things. The specific things that you're called to foster and grow. Like you. You. That's the you. Not the you. That's a targeted sniper headshot. Okay? Just each person. Fitting versus belonging. Just playing around with this. I read this little thing that Brené Brown recently tweeted, where a 12-year-old gave her a definition about fitting versus belonging. And she said, this 12-year-old, if I get to be me, I belong. But if I have to be like you, I fit in.
Come on.
I love that.
It's your theology.
It's good.
Say that again.
If I get to be me, I belong. But if I have to be like you, I fit in.
Come on.
I like that description of fitting, especially in terms of us unwiring this kind of religious mindset. It's a fitting in at the expense of what God's called us uniquely to be. See, we are created for unity, but we settle for conformity. It's a mistake. They're very different things. Conformity strips away the fullness of expression and activity.
Wow.
Given to each, right?
Wow.
And it puts your focus on and your attention on comparison. Where we self-prescribe and create our own definitions of value. Where I am on that level. So value I am. I gotta try and get to the top and work hard to climb the ladder to God.
Come on.
God took all that off the table.
Yes.
He's the one that prescribes value.
Yes.
And we've heard he makes home with us now. The one that prescribes value makes home with us now.
Circle life. Hallelujah.
If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Yeah.
John 14:23. Talking about you. Specifically you.
Yeah. Come on.
I love that making home. It makes home with you. Make it home with me. He occupies and inhabits our life with desire, His plans. And His plan was to disperse His goodness without diluting any of His presence. He calls us His friend. He said, I call you friends now, not servants, because servants don't know the master's business. I like to call it the master's biz, but we're a friend now, so it doesn't matter. So the Holy Spirit is then given to each, not to one. He's making known the thoughts and feelings of God, and then joins us in the activity, the expression of God's kingdom and ministry. So 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Amen.
Now to each one, how many of us?
One of us.
Your person in the chair, you're included. You're sitting in the chair there. Person watching on the screen, you're included. Unique individuals, unique context, unique story, different gifts, different services, different workings, same Lord, same God across all of it.
Come on.
You know, He's woven aspects and activities and expression into your identity, into your heart. He infused them into your being. Things that He purposed you, just you, to create and foster, to be captivated by and to share. That's just part and parcel of being part of His creation. To enjoy being part of His creation.
Amen.
The invitation to be with Him alive and whole. And He's equipping this stuff. He's activating it to bear fruit. So in unity, He wants you to flourish, to live in the wholeness of your true identity and expression in the Lord. And I think there's in that quote, it's kind of a beautiful mystery, I guess. But what that 12-year-old said, there's actually a synthesis place that we have inside of the kingdom. Between those two things, where they're not versing each other.
Yeah, good.
It's that you get to be you, and that's belonging, but at the same time, you also fit.
Amen.
That's really cool. It's not a conformity. You fit, but you're also pursuing.
Come on.
It's this great kind of mystery of Walker's family. And yeah, the second session we'll do an exercise. We're just going to kind of heat that up, encourage each other in that. The peculiar, He's doing some peculiar things. Things that we think might be a bit peculiar. You know, as we're getting to further know His voice for ourselves, there is no part of our lives that He won't touch, that He won't imbue. And He's creating language with you, with the way that He speaks to your heart. And as we follow the promptings, He's able to captivate us and inspire us in wholly new different ways.
Yeah.
It's a bit peculiar.
Yeah.
We shut down the peculiar. The creative ways. God wouldn't do anything peculiar.
Yeah.
I love you, God, eh? Bible is so rich. With the peculiar. Things like the Israelites walking around the desert, they're complaining, they're grumbling, and a plague of snakes hits them, and they beg for grace. And how does God get rid of the snakes? He doesn't. Instead, He just asks Moses to make a bronze snake and to lift that up upon a pole. And so that anyone who gets bitten gets to look at it, and they'll live.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a weird way, isn't it? It's pretty peculiar. so many unusual things, but as they unfolded and revealed, all of them pointers to aspects of his love to him. All just coded like that. So richly coded, pointers and markers of the expression of his kingdom. Now he's doing that live in here, with you, with us. This is an ongoing story. Because he has things that he needs to confirm to us in this time, in this community, culture, and region, in this heart, for now. And you're invited to that, we're all invited to that.
Oh, probably missed that one. Oh yeah, I don't think I've been pushing the images.
Just personally, personal sort of, like just to create a little bit of, I don't know, testimony around it. I was, the talk in Feb, I was captivated by the shape. I saw the shape everywhere. I was like, it was just in everything. And I'd go to sleep and I'd see it. And I, you know, I'm messaging Wilk C, like, dude, what is this? What is the shape? And actually, as I was drawing it, I kept trying to do certain things to it. And I knew it was to do with the body, but I kept trying to just tweak it. And it was like he just sort of was just prompting, just sort of saying, no, there can't be lines through the middle. You know, there was a specificness to what he wanted, and it was just a gentle, like, just a nudge. And it was just kind of like an impulse. No, don't do that. That's. So the shape is hollow. The points are on the outside, and I kept trying to connect the lines. I kept trying. I was just every time I'd try to do it, it wouldn't feel right. I mean, it kind of disturbed me because I didn't really want to put it up. I didn't really want to show it. It was uncomfortable. So I could. You know, in the month after that, COVID hit, and everyone was pushed and isolated from each other. We were all sort of points, and the center of our shape became hollow in a sense, in the physicalness of meeting, and it's sort of during that time the Spirit said to me that that's what I was showing you. I was showing you that the time that was just about to happen.
Wow.
And I couldn't, I was kind of blown away. I mean, it sort of made sense, like the disturbances, but I didn't understand it at the time. It's just a really little thing. Just a really little thing, but it's just sort of solidified a bit of the language that I have with God now about the way when I'm drawing, he might just come and just start nudging stuff. And I'm just able to go, oh, I hope that next time at least I'll be able to realise what's going on there, you know, that it's just to tune in and just to make sure that those things are done. Some things that are just off the map. It's coming out for the body, like we're telling each other stories about these peculiar things, and I just wanted to just chuck a few in. Heather was talking to me about a place that she's on the edge of where she's singing, and then and she just feels a prompting to just stop the singing. And then she was sort of talking about this, there's a translation of her voice and it moves to the keys.
Yeah.
And she just noticed this thing, she's just on the edge of. And often it's been a breaking, or it's something's happened where there's been a breakthrough in that moment, and she's playing around with the idea of intercession, you know, something. What's happening there? And this is how it feels, I think. It's just sort of, you're in there and you're playing. You're like, I'm captivated by this. Something is happening, and I'm moving towards it. You know, I love that. Tash recently made Mass. Massive, which is the creative group that we meet up and do all sorts of things. She took a sheet of A4 paper and 5 pencils, and she walked us through this really beautiful journey of getting us to connect with the support systems in our life. And she did it through like a map of our own hands. So we traced our hands, and she had this beautiful way that we connected the supports and the hindrances to our hand. And it just sticks with you because it's right there. It was a beautiful time, a beautiful revelation of identity for everyone that did that exercise. And for me personally, it just allowed me to have some conversations that I needed to have. It allowed me to see some things that I needed to see that God was interested in. That's kind of a peculiar way to do pastoral care. She just got it down low. She just had this, the body,
yeah.
She just nurtured the body through this very peculiar sort of way. It's so beautiful,
yeah.
So coded. There's lots more stories that are being told all the time that we're on the threshold of, and I just wanted to encourage you. As participants, I love that we get to be surprised by what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like we get to sort of have this moment where it's like, what? You know, what? Wow. You're doing this? Are we doing this? You're doing this? And this beautiful thing where you're doing it together. That's why the uniqueness of you needs to be accessed. Because he needs that. He needs all of that and all of him to come together and release. Life lived. I just want to encourage you to enter this space where it's almost like God is just gently bypassing all of our preconceived notions of what an apostle is and what a prophet is and what a teacher, an evangelist, and a pastor is.
Amen.
And it's like he knows that they've been written into our beings incorrectly.
Come on.
Yeah.
So if it was presented to you, you wouldn't accept it because it's been written in wrong. And so, instead, he's just making a way, and he's making home with us, and he's calling us friend, and he's just meeting us and captivating us by stuff where we're at. Through the activity of your life, he's coming alongside your interests, your heart, your thoughts, and just permeating them, drawing your focus. And it's like, it's sort of like a beautiful reverse engineering way of releasing fivefold to us. Because, you know, you're doing this thing and teaching just comes along with it. The prophetic just comes along with it. You know? It's almost like it just... He said, sometimes he tricks me. I'll admit it. Sometimes he tricks me into stuff. One time he made me dance. I didn't realize I was doing it. I went into a... it was actually Helen's prayer room, and I thought I'd try out being an intercessor, and I said, what are we doing here? And the Spirit, I had a stick at that time also, but Jesus just sort of went like this, to do this, and I did it. And I sort of put a bit of bravado, like, I pray for the people of the West, Lord. Me and the Spirit kind of did the, yes, did this. Did that, and I go, oh, from heaven to earth. You know, and then he got faster, and I'm just in this room, and I just started to kind of just move in him,
wow.
And I just got lost, you know, and I was just dancing, you know.
Yeah.
And when I next went to look at him, he was just sitting back and laughing. Spirit was just like this big, like, goes, it's a dance, it's our dance. You know, but so he just says they're holding the breath. You know, just dance with me. Oh, and now we're going to sing, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really just want to encourage us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I really just want us to stay sensitive to his promptings and let conformity fall off, and let's just enter unity with him daily.
Amen. Let's do that.
Psalm 133, this was actually, he does stuff through life. Wilksy's buying a coffee, and he gets handed the receipt, and I see him do his little, like, he gets zapped. do we have enough money for this, or are we good? $13.30 on his receipt. And he goes, straight away, he sits down, he goes, just gives it to me. He gives me this, Psalm 133. Song of accents of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. So I think I'll just pause there. When we come back in, we'll do some equipping of that together. But yeah, unity.
We pray the covenant blessing that the Lord would shine his face upon you, and he would lead you into still water where rest and passion collide, where you can come into the encounter where he looks at you, you look at him, and you feel the embrace of the Father. We bless you as you go this morning. May he keep you, may his face shine upon you. May the loveliness that you are to him, may that engulf you today. You are the beloved of Almighty God. You are the beloved of Almighty God. Let it sink deep today. Don't just go in my head, I'm beloved. Let it sink. And may you have heaps of soppy time this week with the Father as he loves on you. And so we're just going to invite you to come, and we're just going to release this over you.
From trial and oppression, you were taken out of Egypt.
You gave.